A wise man once said, to truly live, you must do one thing each day that scares you. Congratulations! You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Scary, huh?
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
No, it's not.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You know, when you listen to this show, you're bothering me. Did you know that? Yeah. When someone listens, I have to turn the equipment on, talk into the microphone for an extended period of time. I'm really being put out. Welcome to the show. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. Here's how this is going to go down, okay? You're going to keep your clothes on. All right, you can take that off, but that's it. And then you sit in a chair and you listen to me for half an hour. I will pontificate, very similar to what the Pope does, only I'm not talking religion here. And supposedly when it's all over, you will have learned something and you would have had a good time. Those are great suppositions that very rarely come to fruition, but nonetheless, it's a goal. I think one of the greatest inventions by mankind is flavored vodka. Before that, people who just had a drink were drinking vodka. Now, kids can have vodka. It comes in chocolate and cherry and all these kinds of fruit flavors. Kids love it. You pour any kind of flavored vodka on a snow cone or on cotton candy, and your kids are going to shut up for a long period of time and fall asleep for no reason whatsoever. This is something that really makes sense. I'm only kidding. Cut it out. I'm only kidding. You shouldn't give your kids alcoholic beverages. That's absolutely absurd. Well, welcome to the show. Just be quiet, will you, please? I will do all the talking here. I'll do the entertaining. Unless you want to do a show for me, I'll just sit here and listen to you. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But if it is a problem, then just be quiet.
Please be quiet.
Please
be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
That's about as polite as kids are ever going to get. Please be quiet. Thanks. You're welcome. Stop it. Just stop it. Let's do some reality, huh? This is a reality show. Really? Yeah, it is. Really? A reality show. My guest later on in the program is Pam Gaslow. She's a comedian. She's a writer, an author. She does a lot of things. She does more than I do. I may have been doing it longer, but she does it harder. So I don't. That was wrong. That was wrong on so many levels. By the way, the show is not for children, kind of. It depends on the age of your child. The safest thing to do is to send your kids to camp while I do the show. And then when it's over, they can come home. All right. You know what I don't understand? There are a lot of things I don't understand. Here's what I wanted to talk about today, and thanks for dropping by and your financial donations. Here's what I really don't understand. Inventions that have never changed, although technology is blown off the map with all kinds of technology advances. My God, we're walking around, if you can't talk properly, we're walking around with little computers in our pants all the time, in our pockets, in our pocketbooks, these cell phones and robots. The Roomba vacuum cleaner, it's a robot disc, and it cleans your house when you're not home and goes through your underwear drawer as well. I don't know how it does that, but I've seen it on video. It's amazing the technology that we have. Yet we bend over and we tie our shoes. What the hell? We are in this. They used to do this back in the 1600s. Jesus used to tie his sandals. This goes back so far. We're making little bows with strings on our shoe apparel. That is absurdly archaic. And it doesn't even work, because as soon as you get a dog or your laces start going bad, your shoes untie themselves. And every once in a while you have to stop and tie your shoe, otherwise you'll trip over your own laces, you pathetic human being. It's a ridiculous concept.
Well, how are we going to keep the shoes on our feet?
Let's tie a string around them.
Oh, what an invention that is.
It's a stupid invention. It's been stupid since the day the thing was invented. And I don't know my knots. I'm not a sailor. I don't know how to do a double knot. I don't know the Bowflex. Is that a piece of exercise equipment? Or is that a... I don't even know what it is. It's archaic. At some point, some guy named Ernie Velcro... I'm making this up, by the way. Some guy named Ernie Velcro invented Velcro and found that these two ends of a strap actually adhere together through Velcroization. That's a technical term. I don't expect you to understand that. There is no Ernie Velcro. I'm making this up because I am not going to Google things that I don't know anymore. I am sick of Googling. Every time I sit down and type something into a Google machine, I feel like an idiot. I would rather not know anything than to have to sit in front of a screen and ask a computer questions. I find it demeaning and degrading. Well, most things in life are that as well. So Velcro, Ernie Velcro, he invents the thing. By the way, Velcro in Ernie's name has an E at the end. So he invented the thing, and here's the deal. They make Velcro shoes now, where you just slip the shoe on, and then to adhere it to your foot, you just put one strap over the other. It adheres automatically. It doesn't come off, even in a Category 5 tornado. I don't know if they go up that high. I'm not sure even what that means. I don't know why I'm putting tornadoes into categories, because they're damn scary without categories. Velcro does not unfasten unless you rip it open yourself. And there's something very sexual to the sound of a rip, isn't there? Isn't there something sexual about, ooh, someone's getting down. Velcro works, and yet, I have no lace shoes anymore because I have progressed. I have no lace shoes. I have a pair of sneakers that fasten by Velcro. They're called Velcro Fasten Sneakers, and I wear them because they're easy. I'll wear slip-on shoes. I refuse to bend down at my age of 17 years old. I refuse to bend down, put stress on my back, to put a knot on a string to adhere my shoe to my foot. That is absolutely absurd. And those of you that still wear lace shoes, you got to start thinking about this. You got to say to yourself, This is stupid. This is stupid. This is just stupid. Velcro, man. Velcro. I don't see people wearing Velcro pants, though. And that's where Velcro really comes in handy. These buttons at the top of the waist of pants. A button on pants? What? What? Do you really have time to go fumbling with your fingers in your section down there in order to fasten your pants? No. Zippers get caught all the time on fabric. They break, and you got to throw the pants out. Did you ever have a pair of pants and the zipper isn't working anymore? Do you go to a tailor? Do you even know what a tailor is? No, not Taylor Swift. A tailor is somebody that repairs crap like that. Would you go to a tailor with a pair of pants and say, could you fix the zipper? No, you throw the pants out. You recycle them in the recycle pant bin. Or you buy new pants. You go to Old Navy, New Navy, go down the docks. You find yourself a pair of pants, you know, and that's it. Velcro, man, Velcro. Remember Thanksgiving? Remember that holiday? What do? You loosen your pants after you've had that gigantic meal. Just a little rip sound and you can adjust that Velcro. Your pants are adjustable. You can have adjustable pants. Velcro pants would make belts unnecessary because you can set up Velcro at any juncture on the pant waistline. Why am I spending so much time on today's show talking about pants and Velcro and shoes that you have to lace, quote unquote, lace? Why am I doing that? Because I am starting an activist movement to promote the good things about Velcro. Velcro people have been shunned for centuries. Oh, shunned. Some of them burned at the stake or lightly toasted. Some of them have been whipped and flogged to some's delight. Some of them like that. It's a thing, you know. That's what I've seen on television. But Velcro, let's get with the program. Velcro, you shouldn't be shaming people that wear Velcro. You should be applauding them for moving on, for taking the benefits of science and technology and applying it to their pants and their shoes. It's funny to me how advanced we are and yet how archaic we are. It's an oddity. It's an oddity. When this show is over, you're going to walk away and say to yourself, my God, Van Damme is right. He's always right. We don't like people that think they're right all the time. One of them was a president recently. We didn't care for that, a lot of us. Because he wasn't right. He was wrong all the time. But he always thought he was right. He was never wrong. A quality that we all love in human beings. Well, I'm not right all the time, but most of it. So, and again, and I hate to harp on this, and I don't use the word harp a lot unless you're playing an instrument. Like, what is it? What is a harp other than taking the frame of the piano out and plucking it? It's the same thing. A harp is a vertical piano without the cabinetry. I've talked about this a lot, and I'm sorry to bring it up again, but I am just so pissed that I am not the Pope. I know I've talked about this before. I have filled out the application, sent the resume, the headshot. I've sent it to the Vatican, Vatican City. I don't even think that's in a country. I really don't even know what it is. It's like Washington, D.C. It doesn't exist. We made it up. I sent it all to the Vatican and no response, not even a postcard from the Vatican to me saying, we received your resume. Thank you. We'll keep it on file, which is, you know, that's garbage as well. But at least people do that, acknowledge that they got your resume. They don't even acknowledge that. I don't know what kind of file I'm in or if they just threw it in the garbage. I don't know what the Pope's people are like, but I want to be Pope someday. I think it's a fantastic job. I think I've got the intelligence for it. I've just displayed that with my Velcro thing. I love to stand on balconies and yell out the window to people. I think that's cool. Usually it's, hey, kids, get off my lawn, but I can switch to a Pope pontification kind of thing out my window. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear every day. They lay the clothes out for me, and it's always just a robe. It's a question of what color it's going to be today, the red or the white. I don't have to worry about wearing sunblock on my head or on my face because I've got that hat all the time. To me, it's a glorified chef's hat, but at the same time, somewhat attractive. They give you your own car. When was the last time you had a car with a bubble on it and instead of a roof? I think it's pretty cool. You got people like waiting on you hand and foot and every other part of the body they have. They take care of everything for you.
Cardinal Jeffrey, I feel a little sneeze coming on. Grab the papal handkerchief and put it to my nostrils, Jeffrey. Yeah, I can do that, but I can't if I'm not the Pope.
And you're the Pope until either you've had enough poping or you die. And when you die, they send out smoke signals to let everybody know. There again, a little archaic. There's no reason to send out smoke signals when a Pope has passed. You could always just walk out on that balcony and say, excuse me, everybody, he's gone. Let's go into the files and see if we can find Van Damme's resume. I don't know. I thought the headshot was enough, but apparently it's not going to work out. I might go through my life without being the Pope, which would be very, very... I'd love to travel. Not really. And I love to speak to people. I love people. That's not true. I like to bond with people and bring people together. That's ridiculous. Well, maybe I shouldn't be the Pope after all. I could be a different Pope. They'd call me the new Pope. And I don't know. I think it might work out, to be honest with you. But it's not going to happen. Should just be happy with what I have. Perhaps I'm setting my goals too high. I should start smaller, not immediately become the Pope. First get perhaps elected onto the school committee in my local town. That might be a good starting point. Nothing close to being the Pope, but you got to start somewhere. I don't know. I think it'd be a great job. I really do. But I don't know, because I love animals. I love people and animals. Actually, love animals, not people. But I love animals. I hold up puppy dogs in front of people all the time so I can get a response out of them. Aww. Yeah. Sometimes I'll hold up a baby, a little baby in front of the crowd to get a response. I know, I feel the same way. Put your baby down. I'm not interested in your baby. Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Pam is going to join us. She's written a very interesting book, which is both poignant and at the same time quite hilarious. So we'll do that right after this.
Looking for someplace new and fun to take the family for breakfast? Then it's time to try Greg's House of Avocado Toast. Featuring all your breakfast favorites. White toast, wheat toast, rye toast, yes, even multigrain toast, and more, all topped with creamy avocado. Or mix it up a little with a toasted English muffin topped with avocado. Come in every Thursday for our chef's special creation, Sourdough Toast with Avocado. If it's toast with avocado on top, you'll find it, and nothing else, at Greg's House of Avocado Toast.
Pam Gaslow joins us now. She's written a new book. Ooh, Don't Bring Your Vibrator to Rehab, a somewhat comedic memoir. That in itself is a weird thing to say, Pam.
Do you want me to explain where I got the title from?
Yeah, I do. And I understand that it came from not you necessarily.
No, it totally came from me.
Oh.
Where'd you hear that rumor?
I thought it was something that was printed out in a thing, like not to bring certain things.
Well, yeah, but that, you know, I came up with the title.
Gotcha.
When researching treatment centers, they send you a list of things to bring and not to bring.
Yeah.
And so one of them said sexual devices. So I just thought that was funny. They also said teddy bears and other things. I was going to originally call it Don't Bring Your Teddy Bear to Rehab, but I thought that
vibrator was
much better.
Absolutely. No question about it. So it presupposes from the title that you went through this experience.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and what brought you to what type of rehab was it, and basically what drove you to it? Because people are usually driven to things like that sometimes.
Well, it was just a basic rehab for drugs and alcohol,
uh-huh.
And I had been sober for about 8 years, and I relapsed with marijuana, which I know a lot of people say, "Oh, marijuana, that's not addictive,"
right?
But it is.
It is,
and you know, it led me to being very depressed, very hopeless, mm-hmm. lethargic, and eventually vomiting regularly, which is, some people have marijuana toxicity that smoke as much as I did. And it was at that point that I realized that I needed help and went to treatment.
Very cool. Okay. And then you went through this experience, and I guess it fueled something to write a book like this. As a comedy writer, you're writing all the time. Anyway, is it different to write comedy, do stand-up, than it is to sit down and actually be comprehensive in a book?
Yes, completely. Mm-hmm. And that's really a good question. I like that question because, for me, you know, stand-up is makes me very anxious. And, you know, you have to be on with every sentence. And every sentence you say, pretty much every sentence has to be funny. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have to be quick. And when you're writing, it's so much less stressful. And you can sit by yourself and work mm-hmm. it out and have time and think about it. And every single sentence doesn't have to be, you know, everybody laugh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you're doing stand up, it's also it's your delivery, how you're communicating with an audience. A book is it's like there's no delivery. It's just words in a sentence. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I actually prefer writing because
really?
I can just do it, you know, behind closed doors, and I don't have to be performing it. So, but a lot of people say that, people that know me say that I write the way I speak. So, obviously,
yeah. Your comedy is pointing out the absurd. I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what you do with the book. Were you going to write a book anyway, or did this experience kind of just spark itself into writing the book?
That's another good question. I like that. I wanted to write, I knew I needed to go to treatment, and I wanted to write about it. It was just something I wanted to write about, but I didn't want to need to go there. And so I went there knowing I was going to write about it. Yes. And I took notes daily, which is how I was able to, you know, put all the details in. I never would have remembered it, but you're allowed to, you know, have a notebook and write everything. So that's what I did when I was there.
Yeah. Was it a difficult experience? Was it something where you needed to do a journal and to have a purpose for it? Or was it something that you actually thought, this is pretty cool?
No, I thought it was cool and interesting. And I really wanted to get people to see what goes on, like, inside a treatment center, you know, because as well as it being, it's so many things there. It's so many emotions, you know, it's sad and it's revealing and it's cathartic, and it's also funny, and it is absurd, and you're mixed together, you're thrown in a place with, you know, all different people, like complete strangers, and everyone has their specific, you know, reason for being there, and just all of a sudden you're all like best friends, and it can be a wild ride.
Yeah, I guess you moved to Miami, where you had this not so great experience, I understand, relationship wise. And where are you now, like, as far as that's concerned?
As far as the relationship? As far
well,
as
the relationship. Well, let's say Miami and the relationship.
It's funny. I love Miami, even though I write a story making fun of it. Mm. But I do love living here. And I think when I first moved here, I was just kind of lonely. And you know, it was a new place. I literally moved here not knowing one person. Mm-hmm. So, and I had just, you know, I'd been a little bit out of another relationship, and you know, I just, I think I was a little lost, but, you know, now after going through all that and coming out the other side and being healthy again, it's just, it's a great place. It's a great place to live. And I'm really happy now. I'm happy that I live here and I made it through.
Yeah. It's an inspiration in a sense. One usually doesn't connect comedy to inspiration, but there is. It's you went through it and you came out on the other side, and it was a good experience, and it's pretty cool.
I think you also. I just like to point out, like you said, the absurd, mm-hmm. you know, in anything, and it's just there, you know, to make it's addiction is a really serious, heavy, sad topic. Uh-huh. And if you can find the humor in there, because there are parts that are funny and things that you do when you're stoned that are ridiculous, that, you know, I'm not alone in doing them and, yeah. you know, pointing them out so we could all like laugh a little bit.
Yeah, I always find it interesting because we talk about the addictions of drugs or alcohol, whatever the case may be. But I've noticed in my life that everybody's got an addiction. Some of them are not apparently dangerous to your health or anything, but we all have things that we obsess about so completely that we should all be in rehab.
Oh, absolutely. It could be anything. I mean, remember quitting cigarettes and yeah. you know, getting addicted to sucking candies. I was like, well, this isn't good. You know, you can't just be doing this now or whatever it is. But yeah, anything that makes you feel good, I guess, or changes the way you feel can become addicting.
Yeah. So you're into writing now. Are you working on something else? You still doing stand-up?
I haven't been doing stand-up. I mean, there was a pandemic, and then I just... You know, I enjoy it, but I prefer to write. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I write a lot on Medium. I write a lot of humor pieces, and I'm contemplating my next big project. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though.
It almost sounds like, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this to you before, but it sounds like a movie. I mean, it sounds like it could be a kind of fun, but yet poignant movie.
That would be fun. People have mentioned that. I don't know if it could be personally, but if someone does and wants to write it, that would be amazing. That would be exciting.
Yeah. It's just, even the title, I can see it on a marquee and people lining up just because of the title almost.
Well, it's funny because as of today, it's actually on a billboard in Times Square, New York City. So you're not so far off there. And hey. Unfortunately, I won't be there to see it in person because it's freezing, but
yes.
I'll get a picture.
Yeah. Well, you can't come out when it's too cold?
Well, I live in Florida, and because of COVID, I just didn't go up there. Yeah.
Yeah, Florida is kind of, yeah. Florida is the butt of jokes now for kind of that reason, too, I think. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be the first to make fun of Florida as well, so I have no problem. I'll make fun of anything. I don't care if I live here.
You know? As long as they don't know your address, then get back at
exactly,
you.
Exactly, right.
All right, the book is called Don't Bring Your Vibrator to Rehab, a somewhat comedic memoir. She's Pam Gaslow, Gaslow. Is there a website we can visit?
Yeah, it's pamgaslow.com.
Well, that sounds simple. How'd you snag that one?
You know, I'm smart.
Yeah, smart. you thought of putting a .com after it and it worked out.
It's just, I got to keep it simple. You know how it is.
Very cool. So everybody pick up the book. It's fun. It's, but at the same time, it's, you're going to get something out of it as well. And follow her and see what happens there. Pam, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
Pam's a lot of fun. She's funny. You can catch some of her stand-up. I used to do stand-up, and then I realized I could be doing the sitting down, so I do radio. You think I'm kidding? That's exactly what happened. I got tired of standing up. I said, hey, what am I doing this for? I should be sitting down. and I am. Have I achieved everything I wanted in my life? No, no, not at all. Have I wasted my time? Yes, yes, I have. And that's why I'm not the Pope. All right, tomorrow shall unveil a new show. I will be with you tomorrow again, and I'm always here. That's the annoying part. So, have yourself a wonderful day. Take care of yourself, and until tomorrow, I wish you peace. Shows. That's the closing theme music. The show's over. You can pack up your stuff and get the hell out of here, please. Did you enjoy today's show?
It was unbelievably painful.